Hi, welcome to Fave This, a podcast about internet culture, video games sometimes, and fandom. Patricia Hernandez is out again this week, so it's me, Gita Jackson, staff writer Kotaku, joined by special guest Danica Herod, the social editor from Waypoint.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm very excited to be here.
I am so pumped.
I like fandom.
I have seen your Twitter account.
I like faves.
I like this podcast. I actually have given you a bunch of faves in my lifetime.
I've given you a bunch of faves too. In the short time that we followed each other, I've given you a lot of faves.
I really appreciate that. It touches my heart deeply. Yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen the Waypoint Twitter account, it is truly a masterpiece.
Is that what you call it?
I have called it a masterpiece. It's basically, I guess this is setting up the topic of the show. You shitpost professionally.
Yeah, I guess I would say that.
Yeah, at least for Waypoint, you should post professionally. Mm-hmm. I wanted to bring in a shitposting expert because this is something I've tried to explain to my coworkers and my friends. Like, what does it mean to shitpost? And to you, like, what is the definition of shitposting to you?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the definition of shitposting to me, I think, is very different than the original definition, which, like, came about 10 years ago on like something awful. Shitpost was originally, and I think it's still viewed by a lot of people, a lot of unfun people, as a bad post with no purpose that doesn't, you know, benefit any conversation. And to me, I think a shitpost is almost like a joke, but for yourself. And might not be funny to anyone else, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a really good example of this is, I don't know if any of our listeners saw the brief window of time in which this was a popular joke on Twitter. Bone hurting juice? Do you remember that?
Did that come about because of Nier?
I think absolutely no idea. But I keep seeing people. I saw when Moira, the new Overwatch character, was announced, I went on Tumblr to see what people were saying about the character. And one person was like, Overwatch mod that changes the name of her two orbs to bone hurting juice and bone healing juice.
And also her like juice just looks like pee.
Yeah, her juices look like pee. There's all these like weird jokes that are very like, you know, self-indulgent jokes about Sombra asking Mercy to pee on her. And like, it's really, really weird.
It's pure, you know? It's pure.
I think
stuff like that. See, like, you don't know where bone hurting juice came from. I think bone hurting juice came from something in relation to Nier Automata, but it doesn't matter because you see it and it's still like kind of funny.
Yeah.
And you also might say it even if you don't know where it came
from. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's something that someone put out into the world because it amuses them. But then like shit posting, especially on Twitter where things become viral very quickly, just has become a new mode of joke making, where the more self-indulgent and that the joke is, the more likely it is to be picked up by a lot of other people.
Right.
Like right now there's that that chart that's like gay, bi, lesbian.
The disaster lesbian chart.
The disaster
and
lesbian
everyone
chart.
Is a disaster lesbian, which happens to be true all the way around.
Yeah, I've known many lesbians in my time.
I've been a disaster lesbian for many times in my life. that one's really good. And stuff that I do often on Waypoint is I'll just like log on at like 1 a.m. or something, and I'm not even thinking of anything in my head to post, but I'll just type something out like... I typed just like X borks off, like all the Xbox One X launch. So I'm like, what's something funny that I can say? And then like the other day I just tweeted smoking big X boinks, because if you've seen the smoking big doinks in Amish, okay?
Yeah.
Not everyone see that. So half the people are commenting and they're like, what the fuck, Waypoint? And the other half are like, I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's shitposting, honestly.
Yeah. No, we get to do that on the site sometimes. I know Kirk read an article about the Xbox One X that was just, what is the plural of Xbox One X? And like a lot of the choices. I think he did add this one to the poll. There's like Xbox One X's, Xbox One's X, Xbox is One X. And the best one is the Xbox One X 2.
That's good, yes. Like squared?
No, like X-Men 2. X2, okay. Mutants United.
I think it should just be X-Boinks. That's the plural.
I've been saying in my head as X-Bonkses.
Okay, I haven't heard that one yet.
The
I've
X-Bonks.
Been saying X-Bonks. Because I think X-Bone is so funny.
It's so funny.
I can't get over X-Bone. And so X-Bonks is like, you know.
It sounds like a cartoon sound effect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It sounds like an old-timey Batman cartoon, like, word bubble thing.
We need to make it happen.
I feel like tomorrow I'm going to grab our social media editor and be like, listen.
Just do it.
Just do it
just
for
do
me.
It. We'll see what people have to say. That, there's definitely pros and cons to shitposting because I will often see people just so mad at our social media, even people who don't follow it, because I just will post jokes from time to time.
Yeah.
But I think it's been like 90-10, where like 90% of the people will laugh or they'll be like, what the hell? But they'll still like fave it and retweet it.
Yeah.
But sometimes we definitely get people who are like, Waypoint social media is just not for me. It's not for me. And that's okay. It's
unfollow
for me.
Unfollow me, bitch.
I know.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll still be following me and I'll just screenshot that they're following me and I'll just respond with that.
Yeah, and that works. That's a good
one. It's time to take social media back.
Honestly, yes. Okay, and also one of the things that I've noticed about shitposting and sort of, and maybe it's part of just the circles of internet people that I'm in, is that at the end of the day, the people who make the funniest jokes on Twitter are Black people and gay people.
Right.
And shitposting has now become the realm of those two groups of people. And it's incredible to see.
I think some of, like, the best shitposts are jokes that have been, like, JPEG artifacted, if like in text form, taken from Black Twitter or taken from, like, Black Vine.
Yeah.
And they have just, like, made their way into these, like, tweets or posts that have gone through so many different channels and been like artifacted.
Yeah, like back at it again at Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it'll never get old. It'll never be bad.
So if you haven't seen that Vine, which I'm so sorry, you should see it. You should pause this podcast.
If you haven't, I don't think you've ever used the internet.
Yeah, seriously. So it's a guy, it's the best Vine of all time. It's a guy, he's at Krispy Kreme, and the first shot is him saying, back at it again at Krispy Kreme. And then the next shot is him doing a fucking triple black flip, except in the last rotation of the flip, his legs hit the Krispy Kreme sign, and like that is when the Vine stops.
It just breaks the sign, and it's done. It's done.
Incredible.
It's so good.
So, like, for sometimes, you know, like when people say, like, I'm back on my bullshit, or, you know, I've never left my bullshit, that kind of thing. Well, instead of saying that, they'll say, back at it again on Krispy Kreme.
Right.
And it means the same thing. It's a signal to a lot of people that you are also in, like, the in club. But it also is just a funny thing to say. And I think that's the key to a lot of successful shitposts is even if you don't get the deep reference, it should also just be a funny thing to say.
Right. We absolutely have, like, Black Twitter and Black Vine to thank for, I think, the current era of what we know as shitposting. Like, the Bugs Bunny image that just says, Lord, forgive me, but it's time to go back to the old me. And it's, like, Bugs Bunny holding a gun.
Yep.
Or, Lord, forgive me, but I'm back on my bullshit. You know, it's, like, all of that
Or the one, she was crazier than him. That JPEG artifacted thing. It's from a Goofy movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a Goofy movie, but
the image, yes.
Yeah. The quote is from Suicide Squad.
Right.
Which is amazing.
Also, I love that image has gotten so much mileage, too. Like, it went from, wow, Queen, you're so beautiful, to wow, bitch, you live like this, to it's gone through so many just layers of different shitposts.
I would love to see an image that image without JPEG artifacts at this point in time.
Can we see the original? Like, where's the original drawing? It's somewhere deep on DeviantArt. It's so deep in there.
I might do a journalism on this.
You should.
I absolutely will.
Good luck finding it. I hope you can find it.
I want to talk to the person who made this, and I want to know how they
you
feel.
You have to.
One thing I discovered while I was also looking at the tag Moira Overwatch the day that Moira was announced.
I love that you're just like on Tumblr looking up Moira Overwatch.
They fucking put the new name out, and I was like, okay, load up Tumblr. Let's go see what they're saying. There's another character. Okay. There's a poor girl she seems fine with it, but the Moira Overwatch tag was taken up by this girl's original character, like, entirely. Just, like, a blue-haired Moira Cruz, who just seems like a cute Latina that she shipped with McCree.
Mm-hmm,
there's
mm-hmm.
a couple of fics on Archive of Our Own with her name, you know. And up until the minute Moira was announced, that's what the Moira Overwatch tag was.
I feel so sorry. I feel so sad.
I really do. Well, I mean, what's cool is that people looking for fan art
they'll see it.
Yeah,
they saw it
and they were like, "Oh my god, I love your OC!" And she seemed happy about that.
Aww. Now she needs to pair the Moiras. That's what needs to happen.
Oh my god,
two Moira Overwatches.
That would be perfect. Overwatch fandom is incredible. It's terrifying. Also,
it's absolutely terrifying. But nothing, no fandom is as terrifying as the K-pop fandom.
Oh my,
so I will say that.
God, I really like pop jams,
mm-hmm.
but the K-pop fandom. Okay, so remember when Top got caught smoking weed?
Yeah, he got locked up.
Yeah. And it was really, really sad.
Yeah.
The reaction.
Well, he went to the hospital and stuff too. He had a breakdown and stuff and had to go to the hospital.
Have you seen his Instagram lately?
I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't kept up. I was a wild Big Bang fan from when I was like 17 until I was like 24.
Listen,
I even saw I saw Taeyang in concert, and I got front row tickets, and my photos that I took for Crunchyroll and posted them on Tumblr got co-opted by the K-pop fandom immediately.
Oh my god.
But I haven't. Tell me about Top's Instagram.
Okay, so Top he's the hot rapper in Big Bang. He's
tallest member.
He's so
hot. I think he's the oldest member. He's so hot.
Yeah, it's really overwhelming. And he's like a weird dork that just loves art.
Right.
My favorite line of his, and I think just a legitimately good bar, is Francis Bacon in the kitchen. I know. It's real. And in the video that he
so
says
much.
That,
I
he is
him.
Doing a Videodrome
yes,
reference,
yes,
visual
yes,
reference, and it is so fucking cool. So he got caught smoking weed. That is a very serious crime in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to the hospital, had a huge breakdown, because he was doing his mandatory military service,
right.
And he wanted to be a cop, because mm-hmm. that, you know, that was just what he had decided he was going to do, mm-hmm. and he could no longer be a cop. He would have to do basic training and shit, and that did not jive with him, really. His Instagram, now that he's out, is just, like, really depressing photos of art. Like, depressing art. And then, like, a selfie of him. And I think at one point, like, he has a comment from one of his other Big Bang members. It's like, you all right, bro? You doing okay? I miss you.
Oh, no. It's almost like, it's kind of like he's living the life of, I don't know if you remember the music video for Lies, which was like one of their early
yes,
songs where
yes,
GD
yes.
kills his girlfriend's
yes,
boyfriend or
yes.
covers for his girlfriend who got killed. This is like what's happening, you know?
Yeah.
Like Top got locked up and now.
It's also like the music video for Loser. I feel like that's a pretty prescient.
Yes.
It's one of their last
yes.
singles. Loser is such a good song.
Loser's really good.
Yeah.
Their stuff is so good.
It's like a step above most K-pop.
Yeah. And I am so, I feel so basic. Anytime I talk to someone who is really, really, really into K-pop, and I'm like, Big Bang is still my favorite. Even though I really liked people like Outsider and like other like less well-known K-pop artists growing up, Big Bang is still just like so good.
Yeah.
It's
I got into Ling, what was it? Ling Ming. She did that song, Awoo.
Mm-hmm,
I
mm-hmm.
like really like that song. I really like Gaiyun's solo stuff. Gaiyun from, I really like some of FX stuff, but sometimes they get a little bit too cutesy-wootsy for me.
Right.
And Red Velvet's really adorable. But, like, when it comes to down and think of it, it's, like, CL and Big Bang.
I know.
They're the ones for me.
I know. Oh, my gosh. I was into 2NE1 so, so hardcore back in the day.
Oh
I think
God.
I mostly preferred the boy bands, like M-Black and...
M-Black always made me laugh just because their name was M-Black.
I know.
M-Black.
M-Black.
They didn't know.
It was like Hanson, you know?
Yeah, it was also an acronym that stood for something totally ridiculous.
Right.
It was like men and believing something. I know the last word was quality.
ladies and queers. That's what it is, you know? M Black stands for men believing ladies and queers. And that's just what it is now.
Yeah, I'm going to tweet that later.
Take it. You can have it. You can have it. Thank you for letting me guess on this podcast.
I'll tag you. It'll be a mutual thing. It's a collaboration.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
There are moments in my life where I sit down and I think of a joke and I'm like, fuck me, I'm going to be a non-real human being and just take out my phone and tweet this right now. Like, I just can't stop myself. There have been moments where I've woken up in the middle of the night and, like, written down a joke because I'm like, I can't be the person that tweets this at 3 a.m, but I can't stop thinking about this incredibly stupid thing.
Yeah, and you'll lose it.
You'll lose it.
You'll lose it. It's the same thing as getting, like, I got my palm read recently. And, you know, I don't, however much you believe in, like, palm reading, the woman did say something that really resonated with me, which was, me as a person, I get so, like, anxious over taking on the time it takes for new projects that I'll think about stuff and I'll just be like, I'm going to let that thought pass because yeah. I don't want to think about the time that it's going to take me to do this. And it's the same thing with tweets. You just got to, like, write stuff down immediately.
Yeah.
Otherwise you lose it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about the way I became good at Twitter, so my boss, Stephen Dottillo, I know he listens to this podcast, and he's always wanted to know how to be good at Twitter. He actually had he got a 1K, he got like a 7K retweet tweet.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was an incredible tweet of a pyramid in Super Mario Odyssey and a pyramid in Assassin's Creed.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, it was a great tweet. It was
such a good tweet.
It's so good.
And he, you know, he thought it would go to just to 1K, and I was like, buddy, that's gonna go. Like, once you have that many tweets and faves, you just lost control of it. It's gonna go. I've never gotten over 1K retweets. I also kind of deliberately engineer my tweets not to go viral because
I'm pretty sure I've also never gotten a viral tweet.
Really?
I think maybe like 1K is like my highest.
Yeah.
And usually if they go super high, I'll just delete them.
Yeah.
Because I get real bad anxiety.
Yeah.
Muting a conversation only does so much, and it only works if you're not looking at the responses.
I've spent, like, a great deal of time, like, making my online personality be inhospitable to people having conversations with me.
Right.
But that means I lose out on a lot of things about being online, which sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, so yesterday I tweeted, like, a great joke about being sad that I thought was really funny and is really funny. I'll repeat it for you right now. It was, you know, my meds have made it a lot more easier for me to deal with emotional pitfalls, but there's just been, like, way too many times this month alone where I've looked at myself and been like, am I in the bad place?
Are you in the bad place?
I don't know. Am I in an ironic hell meant to punish mm-hmm. me for my discretions?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know yet. I'm not sure. And someone replied to it with, if it gets worse, you should see a doctor. And, like, you can go off on that person. You know, they were trying to be nice, but so that would be weird and mean. But what you have to do at a certain point, if you don't want people to talk to you like that, is make an example out of randos. And that also doesn't feel good.
Right, right.
Because then nobody wants to interact with you.
Yeah, I tried. It's me no longer putting people on blast or, like, retweeting or quote tweeting people definitely saved me a lot of shit. Because anytime I would quote like a dude being gross in my mentions. Mm-hmm. I would get, you know, most people would be like supportive or whatever, but people would also like go off on the person, which was never my intention.
No.
It was more of my intention to like make an example of how people shouldn't act.
Yeah.
I did quote tweet someone the other day who tweeted at me and was like, "Hey, Danica, you think you're hot shit? Just want to let you know you're not hot shit." And I quote tweet them. I'm just like, "Thank you so much for keeping me grounded. Like, you are the reason that I exist today."
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes you gotta make an example. I understand. I mean, yesterday with the guy that was like the mental health thing, I feel like it was a service to him also because he did it out of concern for me.
Right.
But he needs to know that he does not know me.
Right. It comes from, like, here's the thing is, like, it comes from what you want to believe is a good place, right?
Yes.
But also, people need to sit back and think that, hey, maybe if someone is talking about medication, they have seen a doctor or they have considered seeing a doctor.
Yeah.
Or even if someone's talked about mental health, and I always get really wound up by people being like, you should do
X,
you should... Y, Z if I'm not asking for the advice.
Yes. I think it's especially hazardous when talking about mental health or any health issue, but it's like double especially if you are like a marginalized in any way at all.
Right.
People just assume that you haven't thought about it at all, and it's bingo bongo bonkers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember, I mean, it doesn't even matter that like at one time, Kirk Roth is great. I feel like I always talk about Kirk on this podcast. Sorry, Kirk. He had this great post that I loved so much that was called "I squished a bug inside the screen of my monitor and now I want to die."
That was also a great post.
That was such a good post because he made like the perfect like shitposty top image.
It was so good.
It was just like a picture of the smushed bug and then the word "fuck."
Yes,
amazing.
It was so good.
I remember reading that and people were just in the comments were just people giving him advice and. You know, the poll post was, I'm going to live with it. I'm not fucking asking, you know? And there's this assumption about online that everyone always knows less than you, which is not true.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people know more than you.
Right.
Or just don't care.
Right.
Like another big thing.
I think for the most part is they just don't give. They're not asking for anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Like think of it like a bus stop, right? You came up to a bus stop. And a person started giving you advice. You'd be like, get the fuck away from me.
It's like that vine where the woman's outside and she's like, oh. Yeah. And the bus driver's like, nope. And he just drives away. That's what Twitter's like sometimes.
Yeah. It's got to be.
They're like, let me in. This is a thing that Austin and I have talked about too. Is like sometimes we'll be like having a conversation on Twitter or we'll be like responding to each other and someone who like doesn't know us will just comment with like a piece of advice or something. And that is always like so weird to see. I think also it's really hard and I sympathize with a lot of people on Twitter because especially getting on Twitter now or recently, sometimes it can be hard to navigate like how to interact with people on Twitter and interact with threads and see other conversations and not want to get in. So it's like I sympathize with it and also I'm like affected by it in a way.
Yeah, no, I feel like I've done my best to give people advice about how to deal with Twitter because especially now it's a fucking nightmare. Just a waking nightmare.
Yep. Here's the advice. Get a private Twitter. No, just
seriously. Everybody get a locked account. Twitter's better when it's locked next to your name.
Please.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like that and just like you gotta read the replies before you reply to somebody.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about making a joke, make sure no one else has made that joke or else you're gonna look like a chump and get muted.
Mm-hmm.
And also assume everyone's already muted you.
Mm-hmm.
I have the quality filter on at all times, which means I basically don't see anyone except for the people I follow.
I turned that off because it was hiding posts from people that I followed. It was
really?
So strange. It was so strange.
Weird.
Twitter's broken, though, so, like, please don't take away my verification.
Yeah.
But Twitter is broken and sucks.
But instead of fixing it, they added 280 characters now.
You know what I need? I need to write a book. So I've tried to keep it under 140. I've been trying. I'm like, on Waypoint, I'm absolutely not using the 280.
Oh, no.
I will never go. You can hold me to that. I'll never go above.
So we're never going to see the John Galt speech on the Waypoint Twitter?
No. Oh, I thought about just writing it's and then a bunch of dots, like making a really long tweet, and then video games, not video games. That was going to be my one.
That sounds really good.
Anyone listening to this podcast, please feel free to take it. No need to credit me. It's fine. It's out there.
So Kotaku is a video space games outlet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the right way. I used to be a video no space games.
Really?
Yeah.
I've always looked at it as, would you ever write card games or board games as like one word?
Right.
If you use spell check or anything in Word or even autocorrect on your phone, it always underlines when you make it one word. True. So that has to mean that's wrong, right?
That's true. I mean, also, we use a bunch of made-up words in video games.
That's true.
Yeah. I was trying to explain the plot of Bioshock Infinite to a class of undergrads today, and I just, like, my entire life flashed before my eyes just thinking about all the words I was going to have to say that don't make sense.
That's okay. You'll teach them. You taught them, right?
Okay, you want to hear the plot of Bioshock Infinite, but
here we go.
Without saying any video game words... Yeah. You're a man, you're a Pinkerton agent, at least that I can say.
Okay, yes.
People know what that is. You're taken to American exceptionalism, the floating sky island. Mm-hmm. And you have to find, you're supposed to find your daughter, but also she's being held by a giant mechanical bird. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, there's a revolution and the black lady who's leading the subjugated underclass. You think she's good, but then your daughter's time dimension powers makes it so you get to the universe where she's bad, where she wins, and actually taking down the upper class that subjugates violently a lower class is bad. And then that black lady kills a white child for no reason. And in the middle of this, you're doing a bunch of boring corridor fights.
That was like one long sentence.
Yeah.
Like the longest. You should make that a Tumblr post.
I really should.
You absolutely should. You absolutely should.
My favorite thing. Okay, I've been trying to make this. I was really good at Tumblr for a while, and then I stopped using it for like a year, and then I came back, and the landscape had changed entirely.
Right.
And it was scary and new, and I didn't know what to do anymore. But my favorite thing is screen capping the fucked up Tumblr ads and just making those into posts.
That's good. It's good.
I love those. Tumblr, Yahoo bought Tumblr and tried to monetize it, and like nobody wants to put ads on Tumblr.
No, it's so bad.
Do you see those ads for like not antique vases, like historical vases from like architecture, like what's that one word with an A? Where people are digging to find old things.
Yeah, it's
got too many words in my head.
I don't know, honestly.
But, you know,
I haven't seen the ads, but I'll keep an eye out.
I
only use Tumblr for Waypoint now. I quit Tumblr when I quit cosplaying because I felt like I had not much reason. Yeah.
Really smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tumblr is a nightmare. I quit fandom stuff. Well, as a participant.
Right.
So I am still a fandom observer. Mm-hmm. So I have a Tumblr so that I can message people as a journalist and stuff.
Fandom observer is like the way to go. That should be your title, your new title.
Yeah. I think I should pitch that to the team, the fandom observer. Mm-hmm. I am the one that explains to them why everyone's tweeting about that one weird thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So that is sort of my role. It's like I'm like the watcher from the Marvel comics, except it's for fandom. And then I turn around and be like, okay, so this is why people can't stop talking about piss in the Overwatch fandom.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Man, those are my favorite days. Today I did actually write fucking an article about a meme. And, you know, I was really happy to do it, though. So Sims Cats and Dogs comes out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's great. I've been making a lot. Okay, best part of that game, you can choose two cat breeds or two dog breeds and just press randomize, and it'll give you random features from both those breeds.
I love The Sims so much.
Oh, my God.
I love The Sims so much.
I love it so much. I'm going to spend the entire weekend playing cats and dogs. It's very good. It's one of those things where I was so mad at The Sims fandom. Sims fandom is pretty similar to the K-pop fandom.
I've never experienced The Sims fandom.
Oh, they are never happy.
Uh-huh.
They are never, ever, 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 ever happy. Right. They have been asking for cats and dogs since The Sims base game was announced. And then they announced cats and dogs, and they were like, where's Seasons?
There are so many Sims games. I can't keep up.
Yeah. Well... Yeah, that's true. Like, and it's like the expansions come out and the stuff packs, and it's just like EA trying to trick you into spending money on shit.
And you do it because you love The Sims.
And you want the cats.
Right, you want the cats.
And this one's got a good hair that you want to have, too.
Yeah.
And this one's got a cool skirt.
Mm-hmm.
And this one has the feature where you can join a dance crew. And there is a feature in one of the expansions where you can join a dance crew. So
you could be, there's one where you could be a DJ. You know, you could be anything you want.
You can be a vampire.
I really like, what I really like about The Sims are the conspiracy theories on YouTube. Those are so good.
Yes.
Those are like, I saw one, one of my coworkers, she works on Viceland. Her name is Amelia. Her Twitter is ThoughtCoter, and it's an extremely good Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But she went through a phase where she was just posting clips of Sims conspiracy theory videos. And there's one, I'll send it to you later. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's about some like main Sims character, which I didn't even know could exist.
Yeah, there's like an overarching storyline of characters from The Sims 1, where they keep bringing back these characters and putting them in neighborhoods, and there is like an actual plot. There is.
That is so weird.
It's bonkers.
Oh my gosh.
It's fascinating. And like, there's The Sims Wiki is like one of my favorite things in the world. That's where I found out. I wrote this article about the things that people in The Sims do to get the baby that they want.
Mm-hmm.
And in The Sims 2, they, for a long time, you just had to save scum when your character was pregnant.
Right.
So that you could reload if you didn't get the baby you wanted. Mm-hmm. But after a while, they added a thing where if you ate certain foods, it would give you a boy or a girl. And I went to the wiki to confirm, and they were like, well. And it was just like age of information.
Oh,
it was fascinating. I know so much about The Sims 2 code now.
I also like the a lot of people make Sims AMVs, so I've seen a lot of like Naruto Sims AMVs where like Sasuke and Sakura are dating, and I think they even like have sex in this AMV, and Naruto's just outside. It's to
that sounds beautiful.
It's to Eminem and Rihanna song, that Rihanna song,
Love the Way You Lie.
Yes,
that
and Naruto's
sounds incredible.
Just outside like as Eminem like rapping. Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, my God.
It's really good.
So, speaking of that, I was looking through The Sims, like, gallery where people upload their Sims to share with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that just, like, a lot of characters were named Dr. Nathan Barker.
Barker?
Barker.
Oh, Dr. Nathan Barker.
It was
Barker.
Just the same Sim or this Sim, but now he's with the girl that's pregnant and stuff. So I went and looked in the description.
Huh.
And there was a link to a YouTube channel where this person just has like a soap opera featuring this character. And like videos don't actually have that much views, but like a lot of people have downloaded this Sim and then re-uploaded it to the gallery after they've gotten him married off and shit. And it's fascinating.
The rabbit hole goes so deep.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
The Sims people, because it's like they don't play any other game. It's sort of like people who play who buy a game console because that they want that year's Madden, NBA, and Call of Duty.
Yep, yep.
And the Sims people are just like that. They just get the Sims.
Mm-hmm.
And they will just play the Sims. And I guess that explains why they get so frustrated waiting for new expansions.
They've needed cats and dogs for 20 years.
Yeah, they woke up every day knowing that they needed it. In the womb, they were like, you know what? I want Sims for cats and dogs.
Oh,
what's
my
a
gosh.
Sim? Don't know. I will know in the future.
I miss The Sims. I haven't played in a long time. The Sims to me was always like Barbies, where I would just like kill off my characters.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, for me, Barbies was I'm going to make Connor Oberst in The Sims, and then I'm going to marry Connor Oberst. The thing that I've done.
It's good. It's
yeah.
Good. It's good.
Yeah. I did. I made a very, very accurate replica of the apartment that I just moved into. And then I stopped short of making
that
all of my roommates.
That is such dedication.
I really love decorating houses. If there was just a game like Style Savvy, except you're an interior designer, I would play it literally every day of my life.
Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer?
I liked it, but it wasn't... Okay,
Style Savvy is
a lot
much
more variety.
Better, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Happy Home Designer scratched the itch for a while.
Right. There's only so much you can do in that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, you have someone right over your shoulder. They're waiting.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure.
I did like going and seeing other people's houses in Happy Home Designer.
Yes.
That was really fun.
Well, because they always look or the houses that you worked on, or
are on the network?
Oh yeah. Because the houses that come in Animal Crossing always look a million times better than any house you could possibly ever make
or design.
I know.
I can't wait to be depressed about this with a mobile game.
I'm gonna be upset.
I'm
getting it, but I, you know,
it's gonna hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't wait. I love Animal Crossing.
I love Animal Crossing too, and I need more Nintendo mobile games. But I'm not gonna spend a single dime.
No, I'm really good at not buying things
right.
for these games mm-hmm. because it's not worth it.
Yeah.
I'm also just like fallen victim to too many like anime gacha games. Like I played Love Life. I can't do that again.
I know. Yeah. I know. We get it. We get it. I miss Love Live too. Oh my God.
I deleted it. I had to get rid of it.
I deleted it like 8 months ago.
Oh my God.
I was like, I can't play it anymore. I have to stop.
Yeah. I almost started playing the one where for a while they had the sexy George Washington. It wasn't Fate Go or whatever that was.
But
it was a different one.
Was it Fate or was it Idolmaster or something?
It was not Idolmaster. It was not a rhythm game.
Okay.
One. But it was a gacha game where you could get historical figures, like sexy anime version of historical figures. It was really cool.
Hello, sexy George Washington.
Yeah, they had sexy George Washington, both as the mythological version of George Washington that didn't cut down the cherry tree and as real sexy George Washington.
Who did cut down the cherry tree. That is so weird.
And the other one was called Forge Washington. It was really cool.
Hello, Forge. I hate that. I hate it.
It was incredible.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, gacha games are good.
Well, I'm glad we got here from shitposting.
I mean, this...
We went for an entire... That was a journey, and it was a very good journey.
If you want to go meta, this is a shitpost.
This is absolutely a shitpost.
Yeah.
Highest level, expanding brain meme. That's what it is.
God, I'm so poisoned by online that today, fucking Kirk just said a normal thing to me, and I said, that's a cosmic brain meme.
Yep.
And
I say expanding brain... I hate that I say it out loud.
I know.
I don't ever want to say expanding brain out loud. Like, well, who says that?
I mean, okay, so I feel like I've done a good job not totally ruining my life with being online.
Mm-hmm.
In that on the weekends, I make a rule for myself, which is I try not to tweet on the weekend unless it's pressing, like very pressing.
Patrick does that too. Patrick
really?
Is like, nope.
Well, he's got a fucking baby.
I know, he has a life.
Yeah,
he has like a real life.
His kid's really cute.
I know.
It's so obnoxious.
She's such a little cutie.
I know, God.
But he's a gremlin. It's on record. He's a gremlin.
He refuses to wear pants in PUBG, and it's disgusting.
It's absolutely disgusting.
It is actually terrible when he has to stream from his computer. I really hate it.
I need to do what you're doing, though, and like not... I haven't been on Twitter much today at all, and I was in San Francisco for the last 3 weeks, and I tried to like really stay off,
mm-hmm.
and it definitely helps with a lot.
Today, I talked to some kids in the new school, an undergrad class, and they asked me, like, how do you deal with people when they're shitting on you on Twitter? And I was like, I log off.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Another really helpful thing to do is to take whatever you're mad about online
mm-hmm.
and try to explain it to a person who is not terminally online.
Right.
Most of the time, they'll be like, Gita, why are you mad?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I'm just going to put my phone away now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's tough. I tried to explain like my job to my mom.
Oh my God.
It's like, and I tried to talk to her about like digital strategy and like brand marketing and all of this stuff that she just doesn't get because she's worked the same job for 40 years and has never had social media.
Yeah.
And that was fun and interesting.
My mom's a professor who still does her grades by hand.
Yep.
So she is very happy for me.
Yeah, same.
I mean, at least, like, the one thing is, like, you can send your mom a good tweet, and she'll probably get it because she knows you and knows your sense of humor. And, like, the same for me. I can send my mom a good article, and she'll laugh, and she'll be, like, so she'll be proud of me.
Yep.
My dad apparently prints out all my articles and leaves them at the office, which is cool because I've written about, like, which video game characters people want to fuck all the time. I've also talked about being bisexual more in my articles than I ever have to him. So
relatable. Relatable. Me on Waypoint, me and my mom completely silent.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's also a cool thing about the internet, though, you know?
Yeah. God, I mean, I think the thing about people get terminally online or just like way too into fandom because it's so hard in life. If you're really, really into Korean pop music in life, it is really hard to find the people that are also really into Korean pop music. Mm-hmm. Online, you can go to Tumblr and type K-pop, and you find so many of them.
Yep.
And it's so easy to think, this is now my entire world.
Right.
And that's really dangerous, too, mm-hmm. though. I mean, I have made a lot of really good friends. I met Austin just because I was, like, fucking shooting the shit about video games, like between like 2012 and 2013, and then we just started following each other because we liked each other's opinions, and now we're like friends. That's yep. chill. And like the same with Patricia Hernandez and all that. And that's really cool that it's enhanced my life, but it's so hard sometimes to actually say it isn't the entire world though.
Right.
And I have to actually interface with this person at the coffee shop mm-hmm. or need to call my mom
right.
or I should meet up with a friend in person. Because even if they're not deeply into the fucked up shit post or like, remember that thing, that video of, man, this is awful. My friend Robert Moore, Bloody Honey on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
every Halloween he will talk about and or share the video of the dude fucking a pumpkin. And
I unfortunately haven't seen it, but he also has the best alt Twitter of all time.
Oh my God, his alt Twitter
eat the
is
booty,
amazing.
The eat the booty one.
I love it so much.
It's the best thing that's ever existed.
I got so mad at him for adding soups to that bot. So it's just a recipe bot, but it precedes every recipe name with eat the booty like.
Yes.
And God,
it's so good.
Eat the booty like cheese and ale soup today. And I had to think about that.
Here's another thing about Twitter is like when I met Robert, because we had only like we followed each other on Twitter, like I had never seen his name before because he doesn't have his name on his Twitter.
Yep.
So when I met him, it was like at a GDC party and I was drunk and I was like, hey, honey. And he was like, okay, hello. And I just didn't know his name and I felt so bad.
Yeah, no, I met him at IndieCade and I was like, you're Bloody Honey, because we had been DMing and trying to meet up
right,
with each other.
Right,
he was
right.
like, I'm Robert. I was like, great, good to know.
Oh my gosh, Twitter. Yeah. Twitter.
It's such a huge part of my life and I hate it. Like, I hate this yeah. website so much.
I think we'll get better as time goes on with, you know, juggling everything, like
yeah.
juggling social media and where it falls in our lives. And I think the last year, everything has just been so easy to get on social media and easy to find on social media. And like since the election happened a year ago, you know, when the election was going on, Twitter was where
yeah.
the conversation was happening.
Yeah.
And
like, I think especially in the sort of sphere of people that I follow on Twitter, I follow a lot of people that are up to date on dates and,
right.
like, always have phone numbers on hand
right.
for who you should call
yep.
if you're pissed off about
yep.
something. And that's been really essential as a
yep.
tool. It also it was really easy to share things without reading them, which sucks. But
yeah, and it's a lot of misinformation stuff.
Yeah.
But
I think it's made our younger generation more skeptical, you know?
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. It's, like, it's not like when I was growing up where my parents were kind of, like, careful online because you don't know who you'll meet and there's a lot of bad people online. And I was kind of like, eh, whatever, fuck off. I'm 13 and I'm going to go in this chat room and I'm going to pretend I'm 18 and say, hello, everybody. Now I think people can just see all that stuff right up front, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I remember your slip is showing, that sort of Twitter
mm-hmm.
campaign where
mm-hmm.
a bunch of black feminists were like, we've been watching these accounts for several months pretend to be black women, and
right.
you can always tell they do not blend in, and here's just a list of them. And it's just very – the tells are really, really easy. I remember
right.
the midst of I mean, it still happens to me. People will follow me, and I'll look at their account, and it's like – first off, I'm Antifa and honey and like all this shit. And it's like, I know that you are trying to crypto follow me
mm-hmm.
to spy on me for some reason, not knowing that my tweets are public. So why
right.
are you doing that?
Right.
And but there's always a tell. And I think that the longer I'm online, the better I am at seeing it. And I see young people be able to spot fakes faster than
me. It's good. I feel very happy that sites like Twitter are available to the younger generation because I think that people are getting like introduced to this mess of online society or whatever in a way that's just like so in their face and they're learning like so fast. Yeah. But it's also so dangerous because there are fucking scary people on the internet.
Yeah, God. Not even like scary in small and big ways, right? There's people who can sort of warp your worldview into this sort of mess of just accusations and not being able to trust anyone and assuming the worst of everyone at all times. And it's scary where there's like actual predators and abusers out there that are trying to take advantage of you. Yep. And it's rough to watch people, especially in fandom spaces, immediately fall in line behind whatever the prevailing wisdom of the day is without questioning it. But I do have to believe, like, I was deep in fandom. I still have grudges against certain Harry Hermione shippers from my Harry Potter days, you know. But it's not like that lasted forever.
Right.
We just have more access now to seeing people going through these phases.
Yes.
And that is the thing we have to remember. Like, everybody always had a thing where they misjudged someone or believed a rumor. Mm-hmm. Or spread rumors and gossip about people. We just see it happen right now. One sad thing is watching people have to leave like their online spaces because of that stuff.
Sucks.
It's always really sad.
Anytime I see a really erroneous, like phony looking call out of like a trans woman from like 2013 getting passed around on Twitter, I'm like, God, this sucks so bad.
Yeah.
Why is this happening?
Yeah,
like Tumblr screenshots of people being like, this person said a thing one time and I didn't like it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously we should okay, so what really gets my goat about that shit is that call-outs were invented to police physical spaces.
Yes.
And they work in physical spaces because you can sit someone down and be like, I have all these witnesses here and they saw you do this thing that was not okay. Mm-hmm. That is like real evidence, and like policing physical spaces is really important. Call-outs do not work on non-physical spaces because you have a lot less of ability to have that concrete evidence of wrongdoing.
Right.
And also, those people can just fucking come back.
I know.
I've watched the same abusers come back to the same communities over and over and over again, just with a different name.
Right.
And it just doesn't work, so we just make people sad for no reason, essentially.
Right. Sucks.
It's really sad. Really, really sad. Let's end on an up
note.
So, I'm going to ask, what is your favorite joke you've made on Twitter recently that no one liked but you?
That's everyone likes every joke I make.
Okay.
I just want to throw that out there. No, it's not true. It's not true. Oh my gosh. I made a joke that just said Mario's tiny peenie.
Nice.
After the article that I saw. I saw a great article that had photos of Super Mario's tiny peenie.
You got to see his tiny little peenie.
I got to see his tiny little peenie. Thanks to Kotaku.
Shout outs to Luke Plunkett.
Shout outs to Luke. And I just tweeted Mario's tiny peenie. And it definitely got more response. The ratio was off. You know, it was it was like 50 responses to 40 faves. And it was everyone just so mad at me. which I think also constitutes a successful shitpost.
You know what? I think you're right. So, Danica, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
It has been an absolute pleasure. People can find you at the Waypoint Twitter account. Is there anywhere else people can find you?
People can find me at twitter.com/DanicaHarrod.
I'd like to thank Montana Mofidi, who is the executive director of audio here. And I also want to give a shout out to Levi Sharp, who's helping us out. And I want to also thank Mellow Makes, who did our theme song, and Stuart Wood, who did the music that plays in between the commercials. Make sure to check out this week's Split Screen, also, where they're talking to Zach Barth. They're going to be talking about these games, and they're also talking to Kotaku's own Michael Fahey about the Xbox One X. So you can find us on iTunes, where you should please definitely give us a review and a rating. It really helps with visibility. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and Spotify, which makes me feel incredibly cool. If you have any questions or comments, we will read them on the show. And you can email us at favethis@kotaku.com or tweet at either me or Patricia using the hashtag favethis. You can find my work and Patricia Hernandez's work on Kotaku. We both work there and write there. And hopefully Patricia will be back next week. So thank you so much for listening. Bye.